Turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 14 and 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Romans chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We were studying Romans chapter 14 in Sunday school this morning. And I think the key element of Romans chapter 14 is the judgment seat of Christ. And so we want to go back there and read that text, verses 10 through 12 of Romans chapter 14, so that you understand the context. And then we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll actually see what takes place at this judgment. Romans chapter 14, verse 10, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Now notice this judgment is called the judgment seat of Christ. And in your Bible there are several judgments. The one most people are aware of and the one most people think about when you mention the word judgment is the white throne judgment, where everybody stands up before God and they're judged and some are actually thrown into the lake of fire. That's not this judgment. This judgment is just for Christians. It is the judgment seat of Christ, and it is not for our sins. It doesn't determine whether we go to heaven or hell. This judgment has to do with our service to the Lord Jesus Christ and our conduct, and it has to do primarily, we'll see in a minute in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, with what we do when we are building in the habitation of God. But before we go any further, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us through this. Father, we ask You please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Father, we need You desperately. First of all, just for the proper understanding of what we're reading here, for the proper application, Father, for the ability, Father, to preach, for the ability to listen and receive and learn and grow by the things that we hear. God, I pray that You will magnify Your words and glorify Your name and edify these dear saints in the preaching of the Word of God, for we ask You to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and notice one element of this judgment. There are several things. I was looking the other day, and on the internet we have published, I think, three or four studies on the judgment seat of Christ, and they are very similar. It talks about this passage we're reading here. Those studies talk about the crowns that can be received at the judgment seat of Christ. It also talks about the authority that you can be granted over cities. We're going to talk about one aspect of this particular judgment, and it's the aspect that we find here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, verses 11 to 15 are going to deal with this judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. But would you read with me, please, before then, so we have some context. There was strife and there was envy in the Corinthian church because there were factions. Look in verse 4. While one saith, I am of Paul, and another saith, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Paul was used by God, really, as an evangelist to go into areas on his missionary journeys to lead souls to the Lord Jesus Christ through preaching and then to have churches established. As a matter of fact, after he'd gone on one journey, he sends Timothy back through there and says, you guys need to appoint some elders in these churches that have been started. Apollos was mighty in the Scriptures. He knew a lot of Scripture before he got saved, and then after he got saved, he was really, really used powerfully, both to edify saints and also to bring a lot of Jews to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, while one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? There were factions. Some were saying, well, but I lean more toward Paul. And the other guy was saying, no, I lean more toward Apollos. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. That's the science of farming. Ye are God's, look at it, building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as of a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build, so he says, if any man build. It's not so that every man does build, but he said, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So you see, this judgment is not to determine whether you go to heaven or go to the lake of fire, because he says everybody that comes through this judgment in verse 15 shall be saved. It's just that some people's works are going to burn up at this judgment and there won't be a reward. They'll suffer loss. And there'll be others whose works, because of the right quality, will be able to survive the fire and it'll be revealed by the fire and they'll be rewarded. Now, oftentimes when this passage is preached concerning the judgment seat of Christ, it's preached this way, that you can be awarded precious stones, gold and silver. And the gold has to do with deity. It has to do with bringing glory to God. Silver has to do with redemption and preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And precious stones has to do with souls being saved and placed in your soul winner's crown. That's the way this is typically taught and typically preached. But you know something? As I look back at this text and I got to thinking about that judgment, and I thought, you know, there are a lot of things in this that aren't often talked about, and I'm not trying to do anything but really just take a fresh approach to a passage of Scripture that some of you know well and introduce you to this passage of Scripture if you've never heard it before. Now notice this what this is the accumulation of a man's work for the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he comes up to the judgment seat of Christ where there is a fire and it tries his work. And if that fire burns his work, he suffers loss. And if he comes through that fire, then that remains and he's going to be rewarded. Notice some things as we go into looking at what Paul says. He said, I am a wise master builder in verse 10. I have laid the foundation. And then he says, another buildeth thereon. Well, that tells me then there's no more foundation building going on. That's already been done. Keep your finger where you are. Go to Ephesians, which is just through 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and then Ephesians, and look at chapter 2. And notice this foundation of this building. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul, in the second half of the chapter, is talking about us being one body in Christ and that we are not Jews and Gentiles. We are one man in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in the same body, and we're in that body by the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch verse 19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. See that household of God? There's a building being built. And it's built on a foundation. Look at verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles. What was Paul? He was an apostle. What was Peter? He was an apostle. John, an apostle. James, an apostle. You've got epistles in the Bible from the apostles. The apostles' epistles. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Agabus was one of those. Watch it. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You see that? There's a building being built. And it got started back there in Paul's time. It got started on the foundation of Jesus Christ. He is the one that shed His blood that we might be saved. He's the one that died on the cross. He's the one that rose from the grave. He is the beginning. He's the chief cornerstone of this building. Now that foundation was laid by the apostles and the prophets, and everything since then has been built upon that foundation. And you, in verse 22 of Ephesians chapter 2, and I are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. So you got to go past Hebrews. That's a big book back there. And James, and you get to 1 Peter. And notice the kind of building material that you and I make up. 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, he's talking about us growing by the sincere milk of the Word of God in verse 2. And then he says in verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone. That's Jesus Christ. He's a living stone. He is the rock, but He's alive. Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Watch it. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Do you see what you're seeing here then? There is a building that is being built on a foundation laid by Paul the Apostle. And that building is comprised of lively stones, or something that Paul called precious stones. And every one of us in here that is saved today, we've been fitted into that building. We've been placed in there when we are saved by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Now come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, I have laid the foundation in verse 10, another buildeth thereon, but let every man, that's I'm talking to you, take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now watch it. Now, verse 12, what's the next word? If. Not every man builds on the foundation. There are a lot of people who are lively stones who are in the building that have never done anything at all for that habitation. But then there are a lot of other people who have done something for that habitation of God. They have done, as Paul said, their own labor. In other words, not everybody, when you talk about this passage of Scripture, is doing the same thing to cause that building to grow as it's fitted together for God. One man planted, another man watered. He's using a farming illustration, a husbandry. Well, same way when things are being built, if you've ever had the opportunity to build a building, there are all kinds of specialty contractors that are involved in building this building. There were those who were involved in drilling the site, doing the site work in order to prepare this site for the building. There were those who drilled the piers and poured the concrete upon which this foundation stands. There was another group that came in and did the spreading of the concrete and the finishing of the concrete. There was another crew that did the electrical, and another that did the plumbing, and another that did the roof, and another that did the sheetrock, and another that did the carpet, and another that brought in the pews, and another that did the tile, and somebody that did the plumbing. Do you understand? They all did something. Can you imagine what this building would look like if the plumber had tried to roof it, and the roofer had tried to lay the tile, and the guy with the tile had tried to finish the concrete? Everybody had to do their own labor. Do you understand? All right, that's what Paul said. And they get their own reward according to their own labor. Now, he says, if any man build upon this foundation. Then he goes into this, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. And I've often thought to myself, you know, I've heard a lot taught about the gold, silver, and precious stones, but I've never had much taught about the wood, hay, and stubble. Here's something that's obvious. If this building that's being built is going to be tried by fire, what's going to happen to the wood, hay, and stubble? It's not going to survive. It's going to be kindling for the fire. It's going to burn up. The gold, silver, and precious stones will go through that fire. Precious stones won't be hurt by it at all. Gold and silver are refined by fire, so no problem there. So we recognize immediately when he mentions wood, hay, and stubble, that wood, hay, and stubble are inferior building materials. We can agree on that, I'm sure. However, you know, it's interesting. Back in the Old Testament, there was a tabernacle built, weren't there? Remember that thing that Moses built? And there was an ark of the covenant. If you were to see the ark of the covenant, if you were able to have gone into the tabernacle to see the ark of the covenant, what would you have seen? A gold box. There was a mercy seat on top of that with cherubim. You know what you would have seen? Gold top and cherubim. Outside of there was an altar of incense right in front of that veil. You know what you would have seen? A gold altar. On the right-hand side was a table of showbread, and if you had looked at it, you know what you'd have seen? A gold table. There was a candlestick on the left side. It was also made of gold. And then you would have seen pillars holding up the veil and pillars holding up the entrance to the tent. You know what you would have seen? Gold. All around the inside of it were walls, and then it was covered with all kinds of skins and material. And those walls were gold. May I ask you a question? What were the walls made out of? Wood. What was the altar of incense made out of? Wood. What was the table of showbread, the Ark of the Covenant? They were all made out of wood. The pillars were made out of shittim wood. That's what it's all called. That type of wood. And all covered in gold. So we say that wood is an inferior building material, but may I say to you, even God used it in the tabernacle, but He was careful to cover it with gold. You know what you are? You're an organic material like a tree. The Bible says when God healed one man of his blindness, He said, "What do you see?" He said, "I see men as trees walking." You know what distinguishes you as men and women from the rest of the world? Those of you who are saved, you know what distinguishes you from them? You are saved. You're saved by the Lord God. And Job said, "When I am tried, I will come forth as gold." You are a tree, a gold-covered tree, in some respects. And a lively stone inside of there. So men can be involved in this work, but what's the problem with men? Well, let me give you a couple other things. What's hay? You know what wood is? What's hay? Hey, okay, do you remember back there in the Old Testament when the Jews were in Egypt? I'm not taking you to these passages of Scripture for time, and I will have them posted so you can actually look up the Scriptures. Weren't the Jews in captivity when we open up the book of Exodus? And what were they doing? They were building some cities. And what were they using for building material? They were using bricks, and they were using straw or hay for building material. To mix with the mud in order to make the bricks. That's what they were doing. And when Moses said, "Hey, let my people go," Pharaoh said, "Hey, you guys, you got too much time on your hand if you're going to talk about going out there to worship anything. You now have to go get your own building material." And they did. And you know what they used instead of hay, because they couldn't find any hay? Stubble. Wood, hay, stubble. You see those building materials in the Old Testament. Now, wood, we see men as walking as trees. Listen to this. Listen. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 129, verses 6 and 7 to be exact, the Lord is talking about certain men in the earth that are not good. And He says, you know what they're like? They're like the grass up on the roofs. That they weren't gathered with the sheaves. They weren't gathered like the mown grass for feeding. They're up there on the roofs. Have you ever seen a thatched roof on a building? You ever seen a thatched roof on a building? I've seen many of them. Hay. Wood. hey. Do you think of any place in the Bible where you've heard the word stubble used as a reference to men in a negative connotation? Anybody? Malachi chapter 4, when Jesus Christ returns as the Son of Righteousness, lost men are likened to stubble and they are burned when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. In other words, when the Lord says to us here, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, you know what He's talking about when He talks about the wood, hay, and stubble? He is talking about inferior building material that men would be inclined to use. Man's building stuff. Inferior building material. Stubble is likened to lost people, burned up at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hay like wicked men up on top of a roof. Men as trees walking. Let me ask you something. As we approach the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there are people who say they are working to build the kingdom of God, do you see anybody using stubble? What's stubble? It pictures lost men. Do you understand that there are places today that have lowered the gospel to such a degree in the preaching of the gospel that people who are filling the pews are not even saved? There was a megachurch one time that wanted to have a special service, and they advertised the gimmick to bring in the crowd was pimp my ride. I had to ask somebody what that meant. I'm in a different generation. I think it means to, well, used to say soup your car up. If you don't understand, how can that have anything to do? Soup. What do you mean, soup your car up? What does that mean? Take it camping and cook soup? All right, so this group got together to pimp the ride. These were all members of the church. They came over there. They were going to decorate the automobile. And when they got together, got over at the shop, the guy, you know, the guys wanted to go get beer and cigarettes so they work all weekend on this car. And the fellow asked him, said, well, let me talk to you about Jesus Christ. There wasn't one guy in the bunch that was saved. Do you understand? Listen, get the picture. There are lots of things to say about this particular sermon. I just want to see if we can bring it to its core of understanding, and then we'll make a few points about it. Back in the old day, when God called Billy Graham to preach, preachers said that there was so much of the Spirit of God on Billy Graham that when you got near him, you could feel the wind coming off of him. And when he began to preach during that period of time in which God had called him to preach, his preaching was so powerful, there were people getting saved by the thousands and the tens of thousands. And it was real. But after a period of time, the crowds weren't as big as they had been, and the number of decisions were waning. And you know what he did? He began to get together with all kinds of other wood, hay, and stubble. Churches with lost people in them. And said, let's all get together and let's all do this together and let's bring all these folks in so we can fill the stadium. And just to be sure, if there's somebody in the crowd that is thinking about coming forward at the invitation, let's don't trust the Holy Spirit to move them. Why don't we put our personal workers all over the place? And when you hear the music playing, why don't you start moving? And when they see all of you moving, maybe they'll move too. And you know what happens then? You get a lot of stubble. Now, please understand something. When we get to the judgment seat of Christ, and I'm standing 500 miles behind Billy Graham for all that God used him to do, I'm not saying what I'm saying to cast any dispersion on a man that God used in a very great way. I'm casting dispersion on the method of what sort that work is. When God isn't moving in a way that He had moved before, and you use man's gimmicks in order to keep up the crowd and keep the people moving, you're using wood, hay, and stubble. And so what you see in the megachurch movement, and I only use that as an illustration, I'm not trying to compare or be envious in any way, that's not what this is about. You see all that, you're thinking, maybe we can have great revival in America. If the Spirit of God is willing, we can. If He's not, there is nothing we can do to make that happen unless we are willing to go to wood, hay, and stubble in order to build it. To an inferior building product. To gather our own stubble, that's what they did to build that building. Listen, when you start going to men, you know what men do? They corrupt the Word of God. People said, I'll tell you, the big movement going on now is the cowboy church. Boy, that's the one you want to get involved in, the cowboy church. Okay, guys, relax, I'm wearing boots, okay? It's all the cowboy you need. I've ridden horses, I got three pairs of spurs hanging on my, next to my hats. I preached a funeral yesterday, and a guy came up to me and said, here, brother, I'd like you to have this. I thank you. It's called the Letter to the Romans. It's the simplified cowboy version. That's right. And this is the new soul winning, so to speak, tool. The simplified cowboy version is proud to present the only book series of Bible paraphrases written for cowboys by cowboys. So we study Romans chapter 14 today, right? Here we go. It says, you need to accept a man whose faith is weak and not judge him on things you disagree about. One feller has a strong faith and spends his time with God in the pasture, and another feller has weaker faith but is in church every time the doors are open. The man who worships God in the pasture must not look down on the man that doesn't, and the fellow that spends all his time in the church building must not condemn the man who doesn't, because the good Lord has accepted them both into His kingdom if they were accepted Jesus Christ, their Savior. Does that sound at all like what you studied this morning? You know what this is? This is an effort to put some wood, hay, and stubble in the pew to get up a crowd. Thank you. Don't keep that. Men corrupt the words of God. Paul said he was very careful when he preached. He said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul was dealing with the Corinthians here, and he said, don't worry about following men. But that's what men want you to do. The men become, you know, the big names. In Laodicea, the age in which we live, they say, we're rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. You know what that is? It's a lot of wood, hay, and stubble. God said, you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Paul said, in the building of a building, he says, we got to be careful about following every wind of doctrine and the sleight of men. So that's the wood, hay, and stubble. What about the gold, silver, and precious stones? Precious stones are, really, if you think about it, when we say you get precious stones in your soul winner's crown, we're talking about something out of Zechariah chapter 9, which really has to do with God making up His jewels in His crown. The precious stones are in the building. That's where the lively stones are. That's where you are if you got saved. You're in the building. Listen, again, to just get to the point, gold, we say, in a balanced ministry, you exalt the Savior, gold. You evangelize sinners, silver. You edify saints, precious stones. You see the balance of the ministry? There's a balance of glorifying God, preaching the gospel, and strengthening saints who are the precious stones. The gold in the tabernacle covered the wood. Only gold and silver were used in the tabernacle. Brass was used outside. But here, listen, this is so, so profound. Can you see the building? Can you see the building that Paul started building 2,000 years ago? Almost. Can you see it? I mean, I'm asking you, can you go and say, looky, there's the foundation and here's that first corner. Has anybody ever seen that? No. Have you ever seen the structure? Do you know the dimensions of this building? Have you seen the stones and the edifice and the entrance of it? And have you seen the roof and the making? Have you seen it? No, it's invisible. It's invisible, right? It's invisible, right? Okay, that's right. Okay. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. It's invisible. Because it's invisible, does that mean it's not there? No, it's there. It's there. Revelation chapter 21. Look at verse 10. Real quick. Revelation chapter 21 verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem. Alright. Descending out of heaven from God. Watch it. Verse 11, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious. Precious stones. Even like a jasper stone. What are the next three words? Clear as crystal. You know what we say? Crystal clear. If it's clear as crystal, you can't see it. Look at verse 18. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Have you ever walked into a sliding glass door? You didn't see it, did you? Look at verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Can't see it, can you? So those building with the material that God gives us, gold, silver, and precious stones, are building on something you can't see. Can't see it. Can't see it at all. The foundation is Jesus Christ. Paul is in the foundation of it. And it grows. And Ephesians 4 says it makes increase of itself in love. Again, just keep this thing rolling and we get right down to some points that we want to make about this. What are the building materials? If it's not wood, hay, and stubble and all these things that men use, what are the building materials? What are the gold, silver, and precious stones? They're things like the Spirit of God. Who is God? Gold represents His deity. They're like the Word of God. And when you read in the Old Testament, you know what you read about the Word of God in Psalms? That the words of God are more precious than gold. He says, the words of God are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. That's the building material. The Spirit of God, the Word of God, faith. When you read over there in 1 Peter, you find out that your faith is tried as gold in the fire. You know how you get saved? You don't get saved by works. You get saved by faith. For by grace you save through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You know what so many of the churches that used to preach getting saved by faith preach today? Got to get saved by works. You know that? Do you realize right now that if you had a loved one in the hospital who was dying and you wanted a preacher to come to preach to that person about the Lord Jesus Christ and you picked up the phone, most of the churches you called and asked if they would come and preach the gospel, the guy wouldn't even know what to say. He'd bring a book that had some prayers in it. And he'd pray over that soul. And I say that not to hold us out as something special, but to say too many men have been building with wood, hay, and stubble, and they've left off the right building materials. Why? It's like the old friend of mine said when I got saved and I left the bank and I started got ready to preach, but I hadn't gone to school yet. He said, what are you going to preach? I said, I'm going to preach the truth. He said, you can't make no money with that. You don't see those visible things. Yesterday, I preached at the funeral, and Jake Lennon was there to help me, and it was a graveside service, and afterwards I gave an invitation for anybody that wanted to receive Jesus Christ to do so, and I said, listen, we had a storm cloud there, and it had already rained, it was threatened to rain again, and I said, if you're interested at all in Jesus Christ, He's got New Testaments, you know, the ones we pass out. Just go over there and ask that fellow to give you one. And three people took New Testaments. What does that mean? It means three people took New Testaments. I can't come over here and say, bless God, I got to preach yesterday. Three souls got saved. I don't know that. I wouldn't have known it if they'd have bowed their head and prayed. But I do know this. We put some gold in their hand. Put some silver in their hand. We preach some silver. We preach some gold. We're trusting the Spirit of God. And I'll guarantee you this. I know to be so. If they want to get saved, they're going to get saved. God's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know that. But I can't come back here and give you any visible results. I can't write a letter to my friends and say, bless God, man, this is only September, and we've already had 179 souls saved through our various ministries. Do you understand where we're going with this? As soon as you can do that, you can see the temple. And you can see who's involved in it. And Paul said, we are nothing. That's what he said. He said, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. We're laborers together in God's husbandry. The preaching of the cross, the blood of Christ. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You were not saved from your vain tradition, received by the conversation of your fathers, but I'm just really butchering that, aren't I? As much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. You know what we preach? The blood of Jesus Christ. The cross of Christ. There's your silver. And you know what we're looking for? We're looking for saints. That is, those that can be saved and those that are edified. Why? Because they are precious stones. 2 Timothy, when Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy, he said, in a wide house there are vessels of gold and silver. You see, the gold, silver, and precious stones don't really just align themselves to one thing. You are gold and silver when you're a vessel of honor. You're a precious stone when you're saved. Do you see it? The Word of God is like silver. It's like gold. The Spirit of God is like gold. So we just keep on going and say, but that's the stuff that Paul used back when he was preaching to preach. And it's the same stuff we're using today. Why? It's good building material. It's real good building material. So what are the points? How do we bring this to conclusion? How do we benefit by this understanding that we've seen here? I'll make a few points. Hopefully that'll be helpful. They surely have been helpful to me. First of all, we should never judge our work before it's through. Never judge your work before it's through. Ever. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Listen, yea, I judge not myself. You think Brother Riggs and them could have stayed over there in Poland after planting what resulted in 26 churches down in Mexico for 17 years preaching the gospel to see two churches and one that closed? If he was the judge, he would have gone back to Mexico. God said, in the meantime, I want you to get the Word of God published. In the meantime. 17 years later. If they'd ever stopped along that way to judge that work based on what they were seeing with these other guys that are making great big reports, we raised $1 million for missions and we've done this and we've done that, they'd have stopped. Never judge your work before it's through, because you're not the judge. You are simply the builder. That's it. Second, you should never judge your work by the standard of another man's work. You should never judge your work by the standard of another man's work. He gets his own reward according to his own labor. I know we do this from time to time. Let me ask you something. So when this is all said and done and we get to the judgment seat of Christ, who do you think is going to get the bigger reward? Bobby for leading singing or me for preaching? Who do you think is going to get the bigger reward? Me for preaching and preaching on the radio, or Randy Antonio for being the associate pastors and teaching and preaching and there and filling in here and going wherever God... You're speechless. If it was wood, hay, and stubble, you say, well, the guy who's preaching the most. But if it's gold, silver, and precious stones, it's whoever's got the best quality work. Listen carefully. Who does better at the judgment seat of Christ? The preacher who preaches for his own recognition, or the guy that mows the grass for the glory of God? What do people start doing if the grass around here grows up until it's about 6 feet tall? And all the weeds are in the beds, and people drive by and say, well, that church must be fixing to close. You see what happens? Every man, according to his own labor, as long as he's building on the foundation. You know, there are people here today that are listening, and your heart is stirred about doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ in that building, and you are afraid to talk to yourself in the mirror about Jesus Christ. Listen, soon we'll have another Fishers of Men opportunity. And you'll have the opportunity to go like two dozen of us have had the opportunity before, to knock on a few doors and pass out a few tracts and Bibles. And you just heard a missionary last week who said to you, when he was 6 years old, his drunken father received a tract at the door and God used it to save him, and now he's pastoring a church, and this guy got called to preach and he's going to go to a foreign field and plant a church from a tract. Sounds like some pretty good gold, silver, and precious stones to me. And I bet nobody knows who it was that put that tract on that door but God. Here's another one. We should never concern ourselves with the lack of visible results. We should never concern ourselves with the lack of visible results. Why? You are building with invisible material. You say, well, I can see the Word of God. Sure you can, but you can't see what the Word of God is doing inside of another person's soul. We should never concern ourselves with a lack of visible results. Here's another one. We should never change God building material to get better results. You say, well, preacher, they don't get saved like they used to. You know why? Because they don't get saved like they used to. What does that have to do with us? Never exchange building materials to get better results. Listen to this. We should never trade our accountability to God for accountability to men. You better listen to that one real carefully. We should never trade our accountability to God for accountability to men. You see, what's plagued a lot of churches now is they have conventions and conferences and overseers, and the men that head up the headquarters of these are the ones that are telling all these other ones how they're supposed to do it, and they have wrecked every church that they've done that to. If we don't do it the way we're supposed to, we got to answer to God for that. And to impose some man between what God's doing and what we're doing in order to make it better is going to stick wood, hay, and stubble right in the middle of that building. Can't do it. Last thing. You're just like, hey, man, praise the Lord. We should never quit doing our work in the building until we are through. Never quit doing your work in the building until you're through. Jesus Christ is hanging on the cross. The foundation stone is about to be laid. They say, if you're the Son of God, why don't you get yourself down? He could have. But then the stone would have never been laid. He said, well, I'm not through yet. And then when he was just fixing to die, he breathed out his last words and said, it is finished. And then he died. Paul the Apostle did his work and he says, I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. I fought a good fight. But you know what he said? I finished. My questions to you are very simple. Have you started? It's a good question. Have you started? Here's another question. Did you start and did you give up? Why don't you start back again? Here's another one. Were you thinking about quitting? Why don't you keep going? Here's another one. Have you reached the finish yet? No. Then don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Gold, silver, precious stones are precious building material God has entrusted to your care. You have them all. They're all in you. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the cross of Christ, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got them. Build with them. Build with them. And trust that the master builder is laying those stones in just how he wants them and where he wants them for his glory. And trust that when it's all said and done and you get to see the finished product, you can say, you know what? That looks pretty good. It looks a whole lot better than a bonfire. Father, thank you today for an opportunity to be able to study the words of God. We're asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us. Help us to learn it. Help us to know our part in it. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Listen, in Nehemiah's day, they had to build a wall. Everybody got involved in it. Everybody got involved in it. If they hadn't, they wouldn't have finished it. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, let me just ask you a question. Did you even realize there was a building program going on? not here. I'm talking about God's. If you didn't, would you just do this? Just you and God, right here where you are. Would you just say, Lord, where is it that you want me building? You see, when I heard a sermon on the judgment seat of Christ and I knew I was going to have to give account of my work here, I was like, whoa, man, I better get busy. Why don't you do that? Just wherever God would have you to be building in His habitation. You know, Sunday school teachers that teach those little kids, if those kids grow up and work for God, they really invested lots of time in those little precious stones that come out to be great builders. Please understand, God wants you to do your part. Okay? And if you're weary, if you were looking for visible results, if you were trying to judge yourself, if you were succumbing to the judgment of others, get all that out of your head. God's the judge. And let me ask you one more question. And this is very important. I know I'm talking mostly to Christians. If you're not saved, you're not even in the building. You're physically inside of this one, but you're not in the building of God. And there will be a judgment for you, and it won't be the judgment seat of Christ. It'll be the white throne judgment, and there the decision will be made based on what you did with Jesus Christ, whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell. And I am quite sure that if you knew what was involved in hell, you really wouldn't want to go there. Now, I didn't preach the gospel today, But Randy is standing in the back of the building and he is ready to preach the gospel to show you how to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. So I'm just going to ask you this real quick. Is there anybody here that would raise your hand, had enough courage to raise your hand, say, "Preacher, I know I'm not saved and I need to get saved"? Anybody like that? Yes, sir. I see your hand. Thank you. Boy, you know the thing, how old are you? 11 years old. You know the thing I've always admired about children? There are a lot of things I didn't admire. You know one thing I like about children? You ask them a straight question, they give you a straight answer. You know there's some other folks in here that are older than 11 years old, and you know you need what this young man's asking for. And you don't have as much courage he does to raise your hand and say, "You know something? I need him. I need him." Is there anybody else in here that would raise your hand right now and say, "Preacher, count me in. I need Jesus Christ. I'm like that young man. I need Jesus Christ." Anybody like that? All right. Now, Father, we ask you, please, to help us build with the right materials and do what you've given us to do. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.